we will give you an opportunity to help in this wonderful ministry. We will have the deacons at the exit doors when you leave here this morning. So if you have something that you can give, we do ask that you would prayerfully give this morning. And this will go 100% to Bibles. All of the Gideons are that we meet, they're volunteers. That just is their ministry. So we thank you for that. Thank you, Shane. If you will, open your Bibles with me to John chapter 8. You know, it's just a few weeks before Easter. It's really coming up on us quick. Now, this is one of the holiest weeks of the Christian church. And I felt that in light of what Easter means, that we are going to have a short series of messages on forgiveness. That's what Easter is all about. That's what the cross is all about, is forgiveness. And we're going to cover really what the title of our message is today. We're going to cover experiencing complete forgiveness. By complete forgiveness, I want to include having, first of all, God's forgiveness. We need that. We need God to forgive us of our sins. But we also, in complete forgiveness, need to learn to forgive one another. And then perhaps the hardest part, for complete forgiveness, we need to learn to forgive ourselves. To forgive ourselves. I want you to listen to three statements that I want to share with you. And I want you to think about whether or not you have ever said this. Number one, forgive me. How could God ever forgive me? You don't know the things that I've done. The second statement, forgive that person? Are you kidding me? After what he has done, after what she said, there is no way I could ever forgive that person. And the third statement is this: I can't believe I've done that. I can't believe I've done such an awful thing. I can never forgive myself for what I've done. Believe it or not, these are confessions that I have heard over the years as a pastor. And they come from people who insist in believing that there is something unique about their situation that puts them beyond the realm of what God has for forgiveness. In other words, they believe that God wouldn't forgive them because they are such a wicked person, or they have done such a wicked thing. They don't believe they're in the realm of what God says when they are called to forgive another person. But you don't know their hurt that they have caused me. Or they believe that they're outside the realm of what God calls forgiveness about themselves because of what they have done. The result of this kind of thinking is a form of bondage. It's a bondage of living in guilt and unforgiveness. And it stifles a person's ability to love and to receive love. It will stunt the growth of a marriage. It will stunt the growth of friendships. It keeps a person from entering into all that the Lord might have for them in their ministry, in their outreach, or in their walk with God. It keeps a person from enjoying the full and abundant life that Jesus said he came to give in John 10:10. And bondage is never the desire of God for the life of one of his children. God desires for you today to be free. Free in your spirit. Free to embrace the blessings that he has. Free to do the challenges that he has for your life. Free to have the joy of the Lord in you. God's desire is for you to experience complete forgiveness. His forgiveness of your sin, your forgiveness of others, and your forgiveness of yourself. Because limited forgiveness will never do. You can't pick and choose what sins you forgive, or even what sins you're forgiven of. God wants you to have complete forgiveness. That's what's required if you're going to have a personal and full relationship with the Heavenly Father. If you're ever going to get to that place of fulfilling your purpose that God has for you. Our text this morning is one verse, John chapter 8. John chapter 8, Jesus is talking to some people that have watched his life and said they believe that he's the Messiah. And in typical form, Jesus challenges that belief. And in that, at the end of his talk to those in John chapter 8, he says this in verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Beloved, forgiveness is God setting you free. That's what I want you to dwell on as we look at this area of forgiveness. Now, at the outset of this message and of this series, I want to define forgiveness. What does forgiveness mean? Let me start by shattering some myths about forgiveness. First of all, forgiveness does not mean it did not matter. That's right. If you have been hurt by someone, or if you've committed a sin, it does matter how you handle it, what you do with it. There is no justification of sin for you. You can't stand up in God's presence and explain to him why you did what you did or said what you said. By justification, I mean that there are some people who think that there is an excuse for what they have done. If you have sinned, you need to recognize that that sin is like a blot on your soul. A blot that cannot be taken away until you properly deal with that sin. It's not something you can sweep under the rug. It's not something you can or even should ignore. Beloved, sin matters. Because hurt, pain, bondage, guilt, they come as an aftermath of any sin. And you're very unwise to try to deny the reality of those feelings. I want you to also see that forgiveness does not mean I'll get over it in time. Well, don't we say that all the time? Time will heal all wounds. No, it doesn't. When someone has offended you, hurt you, brought you pain, the tendency is to try to think, well, I'll get over it. But beloved, the memory of that particular incident or action, well, it may fade with time, but it will always be there. And here's the proof. When you think you've gotten over it, you just think, you know, it's been enough time, and all of a sudden you see that person is calling you on the phone, it all just rushes back, doesn't it? They walk into the room and you go, oh, that's that, I remember that. You see, you haven't dealt with it. It's still festering in your spirit. And listen, if you've committed a sin before God, the effect of that sin is going to remain in your life until you get right with God. And you may not immediately feel consequences for your sin. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I'll tell you this, it's there. It's there like a bad seed laying dormant. And the same holds true when you can't forgive yourself. You may think in time that you'll forget about it, but even after decades, it still haunts you. Because only the Lord Jesus Christ and his forgiveness working in you, working through you, can heal these kind of wounds. A wrong that you attempt to bury is only going to rot in your heart, and it may very easily turn into bitterness and anger and hatred. All of these are destructive emotions to you. But you know, the Bible says that bitterness is like it'll spring up and affect others around you. And the third thing I want you to understand, that forgiveness does not mean that there is no penalty. Oh, I've confessed my sin. I shouldn't have to deal with any consequences. Now, there are some people who think that God has skipped over their sin because they haven't felt the consequences yet. That's usually the person who is just hoping that God has forgotten what they've done, you know, taken a detour around them or thought them to be outside of his realm of forgiveness. There are times, however, when we are fearful, and this is when we're talking about forgiving others, we become fearful that God has forgotten how to deal with the person who wronged us. They may even seem, you may see them prospering, that person who hurt you, and you begin to feel that God hasn't done his job in their life. That's just a real simple way of knowing that you haven't forgiven, because you're waiting for God to punish them in some way. So we hold on to the prerogative of vengeance just in case God has forgotten about the incident, or in case he intended to do nothing about it, or what he chooses to do isn't enough. At times, we know we deserve to be punished, and we don't seem to sense the negative thing that God is bringing, the consequence into our life. And so what we do is we refuse to forgive ourselves, because we know that what we have done was wrong, and yet there was no consequence. The definitions of all of these do not hold water when we come to the Word of God. Just remember this morning that sin matters always. It always matters. Sin and the effects of sin, they don't disappear over time. It just doesn't go away of the own natural accord. Sin must be forgiven, or it remains unforgiven. And sin always has consequences. It always bears with it the ultimate penalty of death. So what is sin? Here's a definition. It's in your bulletin. The definition of sin I want to use for today is the act of setting someone free from an obligation to you that is a result of a wrong done against you. Think about that for a second. Think about that when we think about God forgiving us. Even in our text, Jesus said, if the Son has made you free, you are free indeed. So this is the act of setting someone free because of an obligation to you, or in this case to God, that it is a result of a wrong that you have done. See, we have sinned, and God has set us free. How? Because someone has paid the price, the obligation. Forgiveness is the legal act of God whereby he can remove the charges that were held against the sinner because a proper atonement has been made for that sin. The most frequently used word in the New Testament for forgiveness is defined as to let go, to set free, to send away, to release. When we think of forgiveness, there are three elements to forgiveness. First of all, there is an injury, a hurt. A wrong has been committed. And through that wrong that was committed, there's some pain, some suffering, some guilt that is experienced. Could be consciously, could be subconsciously. But along with that hurt comes a debt resulting from the injury. Now, there is a consequence that always is detrimental. It puts someone into a deficit state of some kind. And then the third part of forgiveness is the cancellation of that debt. Now, all three elements are involved in all the types of forgiveness that we're talking about. Forgiveness by God, the forgiveness of others, and the forgiveness of self. People who haven't received God's forgiveness are in pain. There's a festering wound growing inside of them. There is a wall in their spirit that keeps them from being set free. They are imprisoned by that sin. Now, they may not recognize it, they may not see it, but it's there. And in many cases, people who act out, feel frustrated, or upset or burdened or impatient. They're out of control. They're angry. They're jealous. They're bitter. They're agitated all the time. They're uptight. They're in turmoil. They're just simply victims of unforgiveness. But forgiveness brings freedom. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And freedom comes with the manifestation of what we call the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Forgiveness is God's desire for you, for everyone. Complete forgiveness. He wants you to receive His forgiveness. He wants you to extend that forgiveness to others. And He even wants you to extend it to yourself. So that's what forgiveness is. Now, I want to kind of make a little turn here for our second point, and I want to talk to you about forgiveness from God's point of view. You see, each of us has a perspective on the world. It's because of how we were raised. It's because of traumatic incidences that have happened to us. So these are some things that we like, we don't like. There's a lot of people in this world who don't like grits. Yeah, I mean, amazing, isn't it? They're not from the South. Everyone here loves grits, amen, right? Yeah. The rest of my siblings were all raised in New Jersey. They don't like grits. They think that's gross. I love grits from the South. I have the perspective of being raised in the South and loving grits. We all have a different perspective on this world and in life. We all have a way of looking at things, of judging things, of holding things in our memory differently. We need to recognize that our perspective on something is something we have learned, and we need to recognize that we may not have adapted the right understanding about certain things. I found in my work as a pastor that a wrong perspective is very common when it comes to this matter of forgiveness. Many have misconceptions about why God forgives. We have a misconception about who God forgives. We have a misconception of what God means by forgiveness, forgiving others, and forgiving ourselves. So for the right perspective, there's only one place to turn. We come to the Word of God. God gave us His Word so that we can know what He is talking about. That's the reference that we have. And we should return to it continually to compare what is happening to us and in us so that we can get His perspective so that He can work in us and through us. Our perspective is wrong anytime it does not match up to the Word of God. Did you get that? Our perspective is wrong if it doesn't come to the Word of God. People have said this to me. I don't care what the Bible says. This is what I've experienced. No, that's not true. It's the Word of God, first and foremost. So what does God say about sin? Forgiveness begins with sin. We have sinned, and we need forgiveness. Now, the definition of sin can be complex because there's all kinds. There's imputed sin, there's personal sin, there's sin of commission, sin of omission, there's even an unforgivable sin. I want to make it simple for you because what we're talking about is that blot that is on our soul. If we're lost, that harboring of bitterness that we have if we're saved. To simplify it, I go to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. We all know that verse, for all have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. That's the bottom line. I want you to understand this because this is so important. It may seem trivial to you, but it's absolutely essential. All have sinned. Everyone. Nobody is exempt from that. I think that would be the best way to describe sin. We fall short. We all miss the mark. The mark, the standard, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who is perfect. He was tempted in all ways such as we are, yet without sin. So what does this mean for us? First of all, we need to know that in God's eyes, all have sinned. Now, I need to keep repeating that because we have a lot of people who don't believe that. They don't believe that all have sinned. You see, there are those who see sin in their life and they think that they're the only one. Nobody is as bad as I am. Nobody has done the things I've done. Nobody else has problems like this. Then there's another group who says, you know what? I'm not perfect, but I'm not really bad. I wouldn't really call what I've done sin. Well, to the first group, I say that you are just like everyone else. We're all in the same boat. We've all sinned. Don't think that you're the only one. Don't think you're the worst one. Sin is upon us all. And I believe God sees sin as sin when we come to Him for our salvation. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done. We all have sinned. And He wants to save you. To that second group, though, that says that, you know, what I've done is not that bad. I want to warn you. Because the Word of God says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And verse 10 of that same chapter says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar and His word is not in us. Now, I just read verse 8 and 10. Let me read verse 9 because that's for both groups. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So do you ever ask questions like, can I ever be free of the weight of this guilt? Do you ever ask yourself, will God really forgive every sin that I have done? Well, the good news, beloved, is that your loving Heavenly Father will forgive you of your sin. He will release you today of all your sin if you will do what God says to do. Every person, before receiving a new identity in Christ, every person identified as a sinner. Some people look back over their lives and they conclude, I've really not been very bad. I'm a pretty good person. I always have been. And so they conclude, what is there in my life that needs to be forgiven? Well, you've missed the point entirely. The whole point of sin and forgiveness. They have been taught a wrong perspective of life and about themselves. This is the perspective that the Romans must have had when Paul was writing to the church at Rome, because Paul spent a whole lot of time in the book of Romans telling them about being born with a sin nature. Just think about living in first century Rome, you as the person you are. And you look around at all the depravity and all of the immorality that is there, and you go, I'm not like them. I don't go and worship of those temples. I don't do those depraved things. And you begin to think, you're okay. Well, the truth is, sin isn't something you do. Sinful is something that you are. You are a sinner from birth. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. And that's not just a play on words. I've tried to say that several times from this pulpit before and I always messed up, but I wrote it down this time. I got it right. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. Romans 5:12. It says, wherefore, as by one man's sin, that's Adam, when it entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for that. For that reason, all have sinned. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, it began a chain reaction. With the birth of his first son to the last child born on this world, all were born with a sin nature. That's why Jesus was born a virgin birth, bypassed man. He had no sin nature. But the rest of us, we are. In other words, it's natural for even the youngest of children to do things that would be listed as sin. They lie, right? I didn't do it. They're selfish. Give me that. That's mine. They have fears. And the fact is, parents do not teach their children any of those things. It just comes naturally because we all have a sin nature. And again, the good news that the Bible gives us is that nothing is beyond God's forgiveness. No sin too great, too awful, too prolific for God to forgive. No person is so deep in sin, so ingrained in a lifestyle, so steeped in evil that he cannot be saved. A lot of times we look on the outside of a person. Man, we see some people go, oh, they're out there. No. Whoever you think is the worst person that ever walked the face of this earth, God loved them and God wanted to save them. You can have your sins forgiven. You can have God's forgiveness in your life. And through that, learn how to forgive others and learn how to forgive yourself. But it begins with you accepting God's forgiveness. And God's forgiveness must be received. We know the Bible says that it is a gift of God. A gift has to be received. So to the person here today that does not know Jesus as Savior, you must make a decision and accept and receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Ask him to come into your life. Ask him to come and forgive you of your sin. That's the first step. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. To confess means just put it into words. You can do that in your heart. You can do that out loud. Make it a prayer. Use your words to ask him to forgive you. And then it says to believe. Have faith. Trust God to be the one who saves you. And to the Christian that is here today, it's up to you whether you're going to live in guilt another day or you're going to come clean with God, confess your sin. He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. True and complete forgiveness only comes when you deal with sin properly. It begins with God's forgiveness that comes from confession and belief. Forgiveness of others will follow as you allow the example of Jesus to live through you so that you can live and forgive others even as Jesus has forgiven you. We will never be able to forgive ourselves until we have conquered those first two. Realize that you're not perfect. Mistakes happen, sin happens, but you can be set free. For if the Son has made you free, you will be free indeed. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, such an important subject that we need to grasp in our hearts as both Christians and someone may be lost here today, need to understand and hear from you how much you love them, how much you are able to forgive. There's not a thing that has ever been done by a human being that cannot be forgiven. God, help us to deal with that in our life. Even as a Christian, help us to receive your forgiveness, to confess our sin, because you are faithful to forgive us of our sin. God, help us to learn to forgive one another. We've all been hurt. We've hurt other people. No one is exempt from that. Help us to have a unified spirit, loving one another as you have loved us. And God, help us to forgive ourselves because sometimes we're our worst critic, but we need you to work in and through our life. And Lord Jesus, for that one person that is here today that does not know you, speak to his heart. Have your Holy Spirit bring him to a point of coming to you. Heavenly Father, just draw him to yourself. And we will be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, the glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have a hymn of invitation. During this invitation, I want to invite you, and the Lord invites you to come. Maybe you are lost. You need to know about salvation. How do I get saved? What does that mean? Come today. I'll be here to greet you right here at the front. If you are here today and you're looking for a home church, this is the time for you to come. Just come right on down the aisle. Again, I'll be here and we'll have people that will help you as you come and join. First Baptist Church is a loving church, a wonderful church, and this will be a good place for you and your family. But especially today, I want to reemphasize, if you don't know him or you're having a problem with forgiveness in your life, we want you to come. This is an altar of prayer. Whatever the decision God has placed upon your heart, we ask that you would come. As we stand together and as we sing, come on this first stanza.